Good morning, Santa Fe, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also moving up the dial to 101.1 FM. We're simulcasting with 90.7 FM for the next few months, and then we will land at 101.1 FM permanently so we can be heard through a larger range of northern New Mexico. Let's see, we're also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show any time of day or night, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. So, later on in the program, actually in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be speaking to the folks from the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival, but first, I would like now to welcome Bill Hutchison, who's usually here the first Wednesday of the month, but he's here to tell us about what's happening with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Welcome, Bill.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Well, I wanted to come by this morning because we're doing something very exciting. I've kind of been keeping this under wraps for the last few months as we've been getting it ready, and it's been an arduous process, but we are opening the, what I believe is the first of its kind in New Mexico, a spay-neuter and wellness clinic in town in Santa Fe. So folks don't necessarily have to make that long trek out to the shelter anymore. It's going to be right next to the Outback Steakhouse on 2750B Camino Entrada. And we're doing a really great open house and dedication tonight. So if you want to come and see what the shelter's up to, and if you want to get some free food, that's right, Santa Fans, free food. Come by.
You know I'll be there.
Absolutely. That's the primary reason I'll be there. The secondary reason is how proud I am
there?
Of this clinic. But we'll be doing low-cost spay-neuter, vaccination, and other wellness services. It's not going to replace your veterinarian by any stretch. But for those folks who can't afford the cost of spay-neuter or proper vaccinations, you'll be able to come by the spay-neuter and wellness clinic and get that taken care of. Surgeries, everything's going to be very low cost and very affordable for the community. So we'll be kicking that off at 4 o'clock this afternoon with the actual dedication of the clinic to the service of Santa Fe at 6 p.m. And I really hope folks will come out and see this. It's a great project.
Can they bring their dogs on a leash?
You can definitely bring your dogs on a leash. There's going to be food, so bear in mind that
Will there be dog food?
All food is dog food if you put it on the ground.
Except grapes.
Yes, except grapes and other choice bits of dried fruit. But feel free to swing by right next to Outback Steakhouse. It starts at 4 with a free food and a little dedication to the community at 6 p.m. It's one of the finest projects that I've ever been lucky enough to be a part of at the shelter.
Have you, since you've started working with animals, seen an increase in the rate of spaying and neutering?
I have. I think we see more people getting involved in spay-neuter all the time. And the more affordable options there are, the more people do it. I mean, it seems very daunting, I think, if you've never been involved, you've never had a pet, you don't know what it costs, or you call your veterinarian and, oh my God, it's through the roof, and you're just not somebody who has that much disposable income. For the low-cost alternative, that the shelter clinic is going to be a great opportunity for people who really do want to be responsible pet owners to do that and not break the bank.
What is the phone number over there in case people want more information?
The shelter phone number is 983-4309, and I'm embarrassed to tell you that I can't remember the new clinic phone number. It was on the piece of paper that is not in front of me anymore. But if you call the shelter at 983-4309, we'll get you set up. We're already taking appointments. The very first public animals will be done tomorrow with our excellent veterinarian, Dr. Todd Obergefell, and a really, really astonishing group of medical personnel.
And there's heartworm preventive and things like that as well.
Yes, absolutely. There's parasite testing and preventive available, some disease testing for cats, and vaccinations available. I think you're going to be amazed when you walk in there. Our tagline for this is serving our community through compassionate care. And it's really about service, community, and care. Those are the three pillars of our mission in opening this new clinic.
Bill Hutchison, thanks so much for telling us all about it.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. See you tonight.
See you tonight. And we're going to take a very brief break right now and then talk to the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. Stay tuned. And I'd like now to welcome Steve Ovitzky, Executive Director of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival, and Mark Nykrug, Artistic Director and Composer. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have you. The season just kicked off last night, and we're going to be talking about the season of the Chamber Music Festival. But first, I have to ask, what is chamber music? What is a chamber?
Well, there are many different kinds of chambers. Chambers of death.
Chambers of horrors.
Chambers of torture. Yeah.
Chamber of commerce.
Chamber pots.
All to do with the word room.
Camera. Room.
And so we're talking about music that can be played in a room as opposed to orchestral music where you need a big hall?
Well, or a lot of people squished together in a room. So, yes, basically you're talking about music which can be listened to in a room as it would have been hundreds of years ago when wealthy people had fancy rooms to listen to. And I would say the largest number of people that we have playing would be about 20.
At the most, yeah. But ideally, it's music that you could do in a, you could perform in a decent-sized room with people sitting around to listen, or that you could perform just for the performers themselves, house music, just something, not house like in
right.
like in
like
hip-hop.
Like techno, right.
Right, but house music, something that you could do in your living room.
And so the origins of the term go back how far?
400 years?
Yeah, about that.
And it was really was played in the homes of wealthy people or in palaces?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, musicians were different kind of servant. Came in through the kitchen, wrote the music, played it, and went home.
You premiered a piece last night where I think we're going to start with you and then go backwards in time to the Baroque music that's going to be played later on in the season. But you wrote a piece, and we're going to be actually hearing some of it in a moment, called Ritual for Cello, Piano, and Percussion. And it's being performed again tonight at 6 at the St. Francis Auditorium. Why ritual instead of trio?
Sounds way better and has a longer word. Ritual came to me for many different reasons. First of all, I think any impressive setup of percussion instruments looks very ritualistic, just all of the different gongs and drums and things hanging. I think playing percussion is pretty ritualistic. And then I also think a concert is pretty much a ritual. There aren't that many places where you have rows of people all facing the same direction, partaking in some kind of a ceremony. Then I also had thought about the ritual of writing a piece, where I'm putting little black dots on pieces of paper that then get sent to a copyist that makes them into parts for players to learn and that they come together. And then I thought about the ritual of all of the basic neurotic things I have to go through in the morning to be able to write the piece in the first place.
Do they involve caffeine?
It always involves caffeine, and it involves withdrawal from normal life.
I mean, just out of curiosity, what do you go through in order to put yourself in the headspace to write?
Well, first of all, I need a place where I know I'm not going to be interrupted. So there's a telephone number which only about 3 people have, so if I do get interrupted, it's really scary. But basically, I don't. I also have absolute quiet, no outside sounds except nature, and time. I need minimum a couple of hours, if not more, where I know I can slowly let go of all of the clutter. You know, do I have to pick up the laundry? How much gas is there in the car? Those kinds of things. Until you get to a place which is really uncluttered, safe, and inside of yourself. It's probably the same thing that Zen people do in
and
2 minutes.
That fiction writers and...
Fiction writers.
And so on.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the first few minutes of the piece, Ritual for Cello, Piano, and Percussion. The world premiere was last night. It's being performed again tonight at 6 o'clock. Let's take a listen. We're listening to Ritual for Cello, Piano, and Percussion by Mark Nykrug. So you start off, we don't hear the piano or cello at the beginning. All three performers are playing percussion.
Yeah, I started with the idea of percussion, which has pitch. So almost every instrument, with the exception of a bass drum, has actual pitch. I have a lot of gongs. I have a lot of little bells. I have bowls, Chinese bowls that you can rub like crystal glasses.
You wet the edges and they make
it. You wet them.
Uh-huh.
But you get them vibrating. And when they start vibrating, they produce a pitch. And so I was very fascinated with those sounds. And they made me think of gamelan, which is Indonesian music.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing listening to it last night.
Yeah, and so I particularly wanted bunches of people playing these things. And I was very sad in the beginning thinking I've only got this one percussion player. And then I realized I have these two other bodies on the stage and they don't necessarily have to play a cello and a piano all the time. So I start the whole piece with all three of them banging on percussion instruments. And then there's a certain point where the cellist and the pianist walk over to their instruments.
And we'll hear probably a little bit of that in a few minutes. But as I was listening to it, and I was thinking about the ritualistic quality of drumming, but the type of percussion and the rhythmic foundations of the percussion are very different. What are the rhythmic foundations of your piece, of your music?
Well, this particular piece has a lot to do with gamelan. And gamelan is basically a kind of primitive elements, different layers of rhythm, but when you put them all together, they get very complicated. And in Indonesia, kids start learning how to play this music when they're 5 and 6 and 8 years old, just sitting there and doing it. So the individual parts are not that complex, but if you do any two or three layers of things, it becomes very complicated. And that's basically the rhythm. A lot of repetition, too, because I think all ritual depends on repetition.
I was trying to figure out what the time signature was as I was listening.
Many. For instance, what we just heard has basically one time signature, but within that time signature, the people can play different subdivisions of that. So you hear different time signatures within that that aren't actually, well, they are actually there, but you don't see them on the page.
The program ends with a Tchaikovsky trio. So you begin and end with a trio, and I was wondering is it a lot harder for people to play your piece than, say, the Tchaikovsky?
Actually, in different ways, more difficult to play the Tchaikovsky because no one knows my piece, and therefore there's no way to compare it to a different performance, whereas most of that audience would have heard a Tchaikovsky trio here or there, and
yes, that performance 7 years ago or on the disc with such and such, they really, yeah.
And it's always better in your memory, so that makes it more difficult.
And also there's no editing in a live performance.
Right. I mean, but on the disc it was perfect. Of course it was.
Of course it was.
Yeah,
and, in,
70
and in the Photoshop photograph it is too. We're talking to Mark Nykrug and Steve Ovitzky of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. So we've talked a little bit about the rhythm. What about the harmonic foundations of the piece? I mean, we haven't gotten to the cello and piano yet, but again, there was such an Asian influence, it seemed to me.
Well, you know, we have very limited material in music. In Western music, we have basically 12 notes. 12 is either a whole bunch or not all that many. And
you can tune those 12 differently.
You can tune them differently, but basically if you extract some, let's say 5 notes, and you build a certain amount. Music is all done in time. So when I think about a piece, I'm always thinking about time, you know, minutes and seconds. So if you use five notes for a minute, that sound becomes very embedded in your memory. And if you then switch away from that, it's very striking. And so what I use in this piece are different groupings out of those 12. And you become subconsciously very familiar with a certain sound. And when that changes, you realize it's changed. But more importantly, when it comes back, it has a great power because of recognition. So the end of the piece, for instance, is identical to the beginning, but by the time it comes back, it's been reinforced so many subtle ways that you hear it and you go, oh my God, I know this. And I know where I am.
What is the lineage on which you were building classical music or your predecessors?
Well, difficult because of the combination. There are no pieces for cello, piano, and percussion that you can go to. If you write a string quartet, you can go to 350 pieces, and there's a lot of lineage. My own music basically is a combination of very particular things, which would be 20th century German music, particularly Alban Berg, and some exoticisms.
Exoticisms.
Well, I love gamelan. I love Balinese music.
Do you play it?
I have instruments which I brought home from Bali. I sit a lot there for hours and hours and hours and listen to people play it, and I've listened, you know, made recordings with my little headsets. I'm very fascinated by that sound. I'm fascinated by percussive energy.
We're talking to Mark Nykrug. Let's hear a little bit more from the same piece, about 12 or 13 minutes in, and I think this is the part where that we're going to hear some piano. And this is more from Mark Nykrug's piece, Ritual for Cello, Piano, and Percussion. And once again, you can hear the whole piece tonight at 6 o'clock at the St. Francis Auditorium, world premiere, part of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. Let's actually talk about the whole festival. And one thing I wanted to ask you, Steve Novitzky, or both of you actually, you're the artistic director, Mark Nykrug, how do you choose the pieces? How do you program the season? How do you make an individual concert, and how do you look at the whole big picture of a season, which includes so much music? It's almost staggering.
Well, I actually, we're so fortunate that, as opposed to most chamber music festivals or even any kind of festival, where you have the resources to bring 5 or 10 people, which would severely limit what you program, we are able, over a season, which is about 6 weeks, a little bit less than 6 weeks, to bring something like 70 or 80 different musicians. And having that resource makes it possible to program almost in the same way that a disc jockey would. You know, when you're in a radio station, you're all alone in the room, but you turn around and there's like a wall of CDs. And you can pick one CD out and play a harpsichord sonata, and then you can pick an orchestral recording, and then you can pick out something else. I try and program like that so that on any given night, an audience is going to hear a wide variety of musical history from hundreds of years, but also a wide variety of sounds, so that you will hear, for instance, last night we had the percussion, we had 2 cellists, 3 pianists, 2 singers, and it becomes really a fascinating juxtaposition of both style of music, period, but also purely sonic. You know, you're going to be interested throughout the evening because what you're hearing changes.
And then every once in a while you give, for example, fans of Beethoven's string quartets an opportunity to hear a whole night of only that.
Yeah. Well, it's... Someone complained to me once, years ago, about some of the new music, saying when they went to a museum, an art museum, if they wanted to see new art, they would go to a new art museum, and they weren't subjected to looking at Rembrandts and all of a sudden seeing a Picasso. I don't...
God forbid.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that same opinion. However, we do like to separate certain things out for the fanatic fans of Beethoven, or just new music, or for that matter, old music, right?
Yeah, we do have a Baroque series on Saturday evenings, and we have a new music series. But there's also new music and Baroque music interspersed within the other concerts as well. So what you get is this very well-rounded programming that Mark is able to accomplish every year, with special flavors for those people that only like those special flavors. But the combination is what makes this festival such a gem.
If you were to only listen to commercial classical music station, you'd think that the only thing people wanted to listen to was the Four Seasons and certain selected Beethoven symphonies and so on. And people do want to hear those things. How do you avoid the big major cliches but still give people what they want?
Well, I'm very compulsive in many things. And one of them is I count. I can tell you exactly how often you will hear Mendelssohn string octet. And it will not happen 2 years in a row. It won't happen 2 out of 3 years, but it will happen every 3 or 4 years. And I keep track of all of the iconic pieces. You know, the Trout Quintet will be played, but not every year.
Right.
Because I am a firm believer that you actually don't increase an audience by playing just those pieces.
That's really true, Mark. And I know from having come from an orchestra background that when you try to say, dumb it down in a way and play the same the pieces you think everybody really wants to hear, and you play them over and over again, they get tired of those same pieces. And there's some great pieces out there that for a long time have been out of the repertoire because people thought they were hackneyed and overplayed. And you look at your list and say, my God, we haven't done that in 20 years. It's because it was overplayed for such a long time.
Well, nobody can ever play Pachelbel's Canon again for the rest of history.
Right. But what Mark does with programming is take those pieces, and everyone loves those, and those are very important parts of the repertoire. And they're the cornerstones of chamber music. And they have to be on a festival like ours. But spread around, and so that every year there's a number of these, we call them chestnuts or whatever you want to call them, pieces that people love. And then there's pieces by composers that you've heard of, but maybe you've never heard that piece. And maybe there's a second wave of composers that sound wonderful that aren't the top names. And so like the Twila Sextet that you have programmed, Schumann, Brahms, if you love that kind of music, that piece is a delight, but one ever hears it.
In the end, it's all about context. And what you really hope to do is put every single piece in a context which is best for that piece. So that, for instance, last night and tonight, the Tchaikovsky Trio is definitely one of those warhorse, top 40 pieces, but it's usually not done in a program like the one that we have surrounding it. So by the time you get to that,
with contemporary music and then a lot of song.
Right, and unusual song, duets, you don't normally hear that kind of stuff.
On the other hand, last night, what I thought was brilliant about the program was that after hearing Mark's new piece and then hearing the Schumann and the Brahms, there was this wonderful group of Tchaikovsky duets which brought the audience to intermission, and then when they came back for the Tchaikovsky Trio, everyone was in the mood for it. And Mark, you were able to set up the program so that when you came back, the Tchaikovsky Trio didn't seem like such a change after a world premiere. And that's what's wonderful about the programming here.
We're talking about the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. How musically adventurous is the Santa Fe audience?
Well, you know, again, I really believe in the integrity of an audience. And I think as long as an organization panders or tries to bring the programming down to the level of whatever that might be in the audience, it's a downhill road. And I always believe in honoring their integrity, honoring their adventuresomeness, and challenging them. And they respond to that. I mean, my audience will always come up and thank me for introducing them to new things or unusual things. They might not love it, but they're happy to have tasted.
Let's listen to a little bit of chamber music. Let's actually start with some Baroque music. We have on deck Vivaldi's Lute Concerto in D. What are some of the characteristics of Baroque music that people should listen for?
Well, a simple harmonic structure, very easy to enjoy, mostly melodies that are with lots of repetition, as Mark was saying before, but a different kind of repetition, motifs that get repeated in different levels, and then a clarity of context, a clarity of texture. The guitar concerto, which is the lute concerto, is
just, a guitar or lute?
Well, it was originally written for lute, but it's always played now on guitar.
Okay.
And that piece is just for the solo instrument plus two violins, cello, and harpsichord, and a double bass, if you care to add one. Very simple scoring, and a beautiful clarity. And I'm sure everyone's heard thousands of Vivaldi concertos. This particular one has such a charm to it, and has beautiful melodies. The slow movement is one of the most beautiful slow movements in all of Baroque music. And it's a sparkling piece, and he's able to make the plucked sound of the guitar blend beautifully with the with the bowed string instruments. And then you have the harpsichord in the background to add the harmonic glue to hold it all together.
Well, let's hear a little bit of this guitar or lute concerto in D from Vivaldi. And so that gives us just the beginning of a taste of the Vivaldi piece. Is this on the program this summer?
It's on the program this summer on the 28th, on our Bach Plus series, on Saturday the 28th. Those concerts start at 5 o'clock in the afternoon at St. Francis Auditorium in the New Mexico Museum of Art, as it's now called, right on the plaza.
Speaking of chambers, how does that chamber compare to where a piece like the Vivaldi would have been heard, 400 years ago?
I would think size-wise it's not all that different.
Because it's a wonderful space to hear music.
It seats comfortably just around 400 people at the most. And the kind of music that we perform at the festival is best suited for a hall about that size.
In addition to the whole question of what music you're programming, you also have some amazing performers. We're going to hear in a moment a piece by Schubert, played by Yuja Wang, who is a young, incredible pianist. Tell us about her.
Well, Yuja is just 20. She came here the first time 3 years ago, which would have made her just 17. And
where's she from?
She's from China, mainland China, Beijing. She was studying, or is still studying, in Philadelphia at the Curtis Institute, which is one of the great music schools on earth. And I was hearing about her. People were telling me there's this little Chinese girl at Curtis and you should really go listen to her. So I went to Philadelphia. And she played for me in a very, very small chamber. And
like a practice room?
Kind of. But she is a kind of phenomenon of piano playing. She's got arguably the best hands on the piano that I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I've seen a lot of hands on that piano, hundreds of hands. And she is at the same time at an age where the energy level and the dynamism and the communication is so exuberant and over the top that audiences just go berserk. Not just here. She's already playing some very, very big concerts. She's playing in many countries, with many orchestras, in huge events. But she started here as a pretty much of a baby, and so she's been coming back every year, and we're watching her grow. It's not that much room to grow.
Let's hear a piece by Schubert, played by Yuja Wang on piano. And she's also playing, of course, she played last night and is playing tonight, the piano part of the Tchaikovsky trio. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
and music of Schubert, played by Yuja Wang, and she's playing tonight, and she's playing throughout the festival?
She's playing throughout the first week.
First 10 days or so, yeah.
And all sorts of music, all sorts of periods.
Well, she's playing tonight, as you mentioned, the Tchaikovsky trio. What a brilliant piano part that is. And as she was saying last night, it's harder than a concerto because with a concerto, sometimes the orchestra is playing on its own and you get a chance to rest. In this piece, it's 40-some-odd minutes of straight-through intense playing.
That's true. There was one little part where I saw her resting and thought, wow, she really has a big job there.
And then on Thursday at noon, she's giving a piano recital on our very popular noon concert series.
So this is all the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival, which, by the way, is on the web at sfcmf.org. Let's hear some 20th century music. Should we listen a little bit to the Messiaen?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And tell us about this composer, who was also a man of I think, many skills, no?
Well, he was a great organist. What's particularly unusual about this piece, which we're doing next weekend, is that he wrote it while interned in a Nazi concentration camp.
Is that right?
Correct. Very well known for that reason. It's called Quartet for the End of Time. And it actually was premiered in the camp, which is a very bizarre setting for music. The piece is very powerful and alternates between fierce, rhythmic, and aggressive music and the most ethereal, otherworldly, which I suppose it was, but an incredibly powerful piece, even if you didn't know the context, but given the context, that much more so.
Why don't we hear the fourth movement, the interlude, from Quartet for the End of Time? Quartet for the End of Time, Messiaen. An amazing story. I mean, there were these quartets and small orchestras in concentration camps. I've read survivor literature by people who were in them, and they got just barely enough food to survive and to be able to play.
Yeah, and Messiaen was actually a prisoner of war and was in one of these POW camps that was the equivalent of a concentration camp, but he was able to continue his composition. Of course, he was also a very religious man who wrote a lot of music based on Catholic mysticism. And this is one of the pieces that comes out of that part of his life.
And all of this at the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival this summer. You also, every year, do something which is outside of the ordinary expectations. I was delighted that a couple of years ago you had a salsa band in as part of the Chamber Music Festival.
I'm glad you were delighted. Not enough people were, but we loved it.
Oh, I thought it was fabulous. We had him on the air, Ricardo Lempo and Máquina Loca. But what are you doing this year along those lines?
Well, we have actually a 2.5-day percussion festival with, at the end, something like 11 great percussion players, all on the stage of the Lensic. The Lensic stage will be overflowing with instruments from all around the world. And we have some incredible players coming. And that should be completely different from anything that you could possibly hear this summer. Very exciting, actually.
So what kind of percussion are we talking about?
We're talking about African, Asian, American instruments from all around the globe.
So on any one program, there might be 2 or 3 or 4 different countries represented, styles of music?
I'd say 10 or 15 or 20.
Really?
Yeah.
And even in those pieces that are composed for a percussion ensemble, there's the influences of all of those different styles of percussion that come into the compositions of new percussion pieces.
Now, is this new music, contemporary music in the classical vein along the lines of what you do, say, or traditional music from these different places?
Both. Combination of both. Good percussion players are generally fascinated with percussion and spend their lives traveling around and gathering instruments, and it's like mushrooms.
It's like mushrooms.
Yeah, gathering different kinds of mushrooms, bringing them home, trying them. One of these guys lives in Dallas, plays in the Dallas Symphony. For the past 16 years, he spends his entire summer in Bali playing gamelan. And this year, he's at the Lensic. So we need to bring him some rice.
And we hope to have at least some of this represented on the air on this show, because that's a fascinating part of the Chamber Music Festival. One thing that we don't want to forget is vocal music. We have, for our listeners right now, a piece by Handel, sung by Natalie Desay, one of Santa Fe's favorite sopranos.
Right, of course. She won't be singing this coming week. We have a wonderful soprano that Mark has engaged for this. And again, we go back to Baroque music, but this time when Handel was a young man studying in Italy and writing music for Italian singers, and wrote some truly virtuosic pieces for voices, some of which later became changed and turned into arias from the oratorios that we know. This cantata is wonderful. We have a great oboe player, Alan Vogel, who will be with us, and the soprano is someone who's new to the festival.
Yeah, Courtney Budd, great young soprano. We use a lot of singers from the opera because they're here.
They're here.
And they're fabulous.
They're
fabulous, and they don't need to work until it gets dark. And so we use them in the daytime, like unlike Dracula. But every once in a while, we'll bring in someone to do particular kind of music. And Courtney has the voice to do exactly this.
Let's hear just a little bit of the Handel by sung by Natalie Desay. That is Mi Palpita Il Cor, My Heart is Palpitating. What's her heart palpitating about?
What else?
Who knows? Either love or God.
The Chamber Music Festival.
The Chamber Music Festival. You also, last night, in addition to the premiere of your piece, you were the accompanist for the duets, the songs in the second part of the program, which he's also repeating tonight. What is the job of an accompanist? The tension, the spotlight is really off you when you're playing piano.
Well, it's like being the bicycle, and you do not want to trip up the riders. So in many ways, actually every single one of these songs except one starts with the piano. So you set the mood, you set the tempo, you pretty much create a framework for the singers, and then allow them the freedom to sing exactly the way they want to, without getting in the way, really.
And the duet form, when we were listening last night to the some of the Schumann songs and Tchaikovsky
Brahms,
is the duet an unusual form, soprano and mezzo-soprano?
Not really. You've got a lot of different, obviously, combinations out of four different kinds of voices, and many composers wrote duets for a male and a female voice, or two female voices. They're simply not done that much. We don't hear them.
And those Tchaikovsky ones really are a gem. I'd never been able to hear those live before. And it's such a treat for the audience.
A guy came up to me in the intermission and was crying. And he said, "Oh, I love that Tchaikovsky. I didn't understand one word, but I got it."
And Patricia Rossett and Beth Clayton, looking like they were having a marvelous time singing together. Do the three of you practice together quite a lot in order to do the program?
Over the last 48 hours, probably 3 hours.
That's all?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No, we're good.
They are good. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to Steve Ovitzky and Mark Nykrug, Executive Director and Artistic Director of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival, which is on the web at SFCMF, Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival.org. And the telephone number there is 983-2075. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime that you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to the wonderful Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned to the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, the Colors of Jazz. Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte. We've got a lot of music going on this week, so keep your dial tuned to 90.7 FM and 101.1 FM, which is our new frequency, so retune your dials or your cars to 101.1 FM, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Ciao.